As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
I was just singing limericks when Dan Zangrilli turned to Bob and said, "How are you enduring this?" And Bob said, "I'm in counseling." Is that right, Bob?
Yes. You forced me to get counseling.
I got Rodney Peet into a limerick during the intermission, didn't I?
That's another thing that I have to go through even more counseling, because at least twice or three times an hour we hear this.
That sounds like a baby goat at a petting zoo.
Yeah. I thought it sounded like a baby on an airplane. Bob says a dying sheep. Would you like to hear it one more time, Dan, to identify? What do you got?
I'm going to go petting zoo.
Yeah. I often thought that Folsey should open his own petting zoo and people could pet him, Bob. Remember Folsey?
I do. I haven't seen him in a long time. How's he doing?
We tried to get him an endorsement with a local petting zoo. It didn't work out. He's doing well. Limits, have you heard from him? Does he still have a file here?
I think he still does. I have not heard from him in a while, though.
Ron in Cook's Forest wants to talk about Jared Jones. Hey, Ron.
Hey, Folsey, you know what they say. You can't make the club in the tub, Bob.
We'll always remember that.
Ron in Cook's Forest.
Yes, we will always remember that, Dan. And welcome aboard.
It's great to be here.
Pirates won a game, and Andrew McCutchen hit a home run. So my first question to you is the first I presented to Bob today. Surely he needs a day off now, right?
Man.
Got a rest today?
Those arthritic knees.
What happens with this lineup with Shelty? Like, O'Neill Cruz is 26. He's now far removed from the leg injury, leads the league in steals. He looks like he runs fine. Why does he need to get off his feet on a Saturday and then not play on a Sunday? That was just baffling.
So, like everything else, we've gone way too far to one end of the spectrum in following science and data and biomechanics. The intent of doing this is to try to prevent injuries. And the theory and the logic behind it, which I don't disagree with the theory, but the over-execution of it, I think, is definitely problematic, is your logic is, okay, if we give him 10 days off and we script those out and we do it based on matchups and we try to do this maybe with an off day right there so you get 2 days down, you know, you're trying to avoid and you would otherwise sign for, okay, I'll take him out of the lineup for 10 days because he may be out of the lineup 30 if he gets injured. You know, the body wear and tear on it over the course of the year tends to break down and be susceptible to injury sometime in June or July. And then what happens? Soft tissue this, calf that, a hamstring that. Then you're out of the lineup for 30, 40 days maybe. So that's where they're trying to go with it, with load management. If you remember, this all really started about 10 years ago. Remember when Neil Huntington would talk about, ironically enough, Joe, you have the Golden State Warriors hat on, how they were actually maximizing performance of players by playing them less.
Yeah.
Rather than running them out there for 159 games and they're not at their fullest potential. It's an attempt to, number one, prevent injuries, because the Pirates, as a small market team, can ill afford, as we've seen, attrition. But, you know, they've just gone way too far here, and they haven't balanced the science with logic. And like everything else in baseball, and now it's infiltrating in every avenue of sport, they're following so much data, they just don't pick their head up from the information and say, okay, let's just take a breath here and deploy some common sense and have some feel for the situation at hand, because they are so married to the process, right? They're so married to the 162 and respecting that, that they fail to, I think, capitalize on the moment and be in the present with stuff. And I think that, you know, what we've seen over the last week, and there's many instances, say, for instance, the Jared Jones game last year, where, you know, he's mowing down the Mets, 59 pitches, 50 strikes, because they have this bigger vision for the season. And they weren't in the moment. And not only did they disrespect the game, they lost the game. And, well, Jones gets hurt anyway. Like, so, they're like anything else, truth and true logic lies somewhere in the middle. And striking that balance is something that, well, the ones that can, that they're the most effective.
You know, I would understand a 38-year-old who needs more time, just because he has arthritic knees, all that. But when I see Cruz, you know, this past weekend, and really big games, I thought, at the time, given where they were, and it's Cleveland in town, part of a homestand you want to take advantage of. And then he was given a day off, too, when they had a following day off, a natural one, on Monday. So, Dan, that I didn't understand. And I look at the Atlanta Braves. I've always said this, and I know that you talked to Brian Reynolds. Maybe it was your interview where he talks about the Braves and how they run that same lineup out there every single day. And Olsen, more than anyone, doesn't miss. But you could say that about all their players. Every now and then they get a day, but mostly that same lineup. Like, for example, tonight with the Pirates, after that winning lineup last night, I would trot the same exact lineup out tonight.
I would do that, yes. More often than I would err on, okay, looking for ways to give guys rest. You know, the Cruz thing on, what was it, Sunday. You know, it's left on left. They're trying to back up days off, and they're also thinking about, you know, maybe certain pitches and certain swings from certain guys, so they go with Canario. They want to put him in because they believe that he would be a better matchup against the left-hander. And it might be as granular as, okay, Canario's really good against a slider. Canario's really good against a fastball. Cruz, left-on-left, is really struggling against a left-on-left slider. And Logan Allen goes to this pitch 35-40% of the time. And what's the point in putting O'Neill Cruz in the lineup if he's just going to see at-bat after at-bat three times with slider, 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 and he's hitting 089 against him? And we have a day off coming up. So why not back up 2 days off for that guy? It checks the box of everything from a preservation standpoint and also a matchup standpoint, because, well, maybe Canario is the better option. That's their line of thinking. But that's on paper, right? There also is the other side of the logical and practical application of this. Cruz is swinging a hot bat. Maybe today is the outlier. Where's the gut? Where's the touch, the feel? Okay, this guy's hot right now.
Yeah.
Run him out there. So even though the numbers and the data, I'm going against the grain on the numbers and the data, which everybody's scared to death to do, by the way, because they all get called to the carpet and everybody wants to throw data in their face and they're so afraid of something not working. And if it blows up in my face, and if, you know, Cruz does go 0-for-5 with 4 strikeouts, you know, 0-for-3 with 3 ugly-looking punch-outs against the left-hander, everybody say, well, why, what are you doing? Why would you go left on left? That makes no sense. He's hitting 089 against this slider. You know, coaches are petrified of that scenario. So what they do is they then in turn hide behind the data. And it's just a bad situation where everybody just runs to that stuff like a moth to the light. They use it as a shield to protect themselves when they are indeed called to the carpet, and they just don't back it like Leland would do, is go up against the grain.
Yeah.
I'll never forget.
Isn't that what a manager is paid to do, though, is to make gut decisions sometimes on these situations and just say, look, I know what all that data says. I ain't using it today. We're going to go with what I think. He's swinging a good bat. He's hit lefties fairly well. based on where he started, let's roll with it.
I'll never forget one of my first days on the job. Paul Meyer asked Lloyd McClendon, why the F would you pinch hit Rob Mikoviak against
Meyer
a left-hander?
Like
he did. And then McClendon would laugh and said, Paul, we're on live TV. And then he proceeded to say even louder, I don't give an F. And then, right. And then, you know, McClendon said, you know, basically I had a hunch. That was 20 years ago. I mean, a generation, a lifetime ago. But those things, those instances have been stomped down 6 feet under because of metrics and data, which, listen, I enjoy all of that. It's good to follow all that, but it's also a game played by humans, and you have to have some touch and feel. Mm-hmm. It's always going to be more art than science. Where's the
man? That's Dan Zangrilli. You hear him on pre and post game on The Fan. Great at what he does. The post game is just a must listen, his interaction with the fans. You just reminded me, I got sent on a road trip, I don't know, 2004 or 5, whenever McClendon was here, my first road trip to Cincinnati. So the first game I get there, and we go in to see McClendon before the game, and Paul Meyer's in there smoking like a haystack. and the room was, it was like a bar room. So, and I get really bothered with smoke. So
tough.
I go outside the room afterward and talk to Jim Trdinich, the PR guy. Then I'm like, Jim, was I imagining things, or are we in the year 2005 and I was just in a smoke-filled room talking to the manager? It was incredible. But that was Paul Meyer, an absolute legend.
Sure. And you know, we don't ask questions like that anymore. I wish we could, and maybe we should.
Right.
And the game was obviously approached and managed in a different manner. And listen, it's hard to combat sometimes just cold, hard, black and white data. But
does McCutchen have a point? And he piped up, you know, this past series over the weekend. And then the next day on Sunday, blatantly said to people, I want to play more. I want to play. This is my, essentially said, I'm paraphrasing, I don't know how much longer I have left. Run me into the ground here. And he gets more rest than I think is warranted right now from Shelty. What did you make of the whole McCutchen flap?
So I think his direct response into Noah Hyles' tweet was more so he just wasn't in the lineup, not that he wasn't available to play. I think that he wanted to make sure that that was clarified. So that was the intent of the tweet. Obviously, it was perceived as him challenging his manager directly, more so than I think the term day off.
Mm.
He was available. He had the cleats on. As he then later clarified, if he was in his, you know, sneakers, then that's a true day off. There's a big difference between the two. And I think that it was important for him, at least in his mind, to clarify that. As far as him playing more, I would run him out there. But again, it gets to the point, well, you know, you want somebody to be there for the marathon. You don't want them there for just 12 of the 26 points.
To which I would say, what marathon? They need to go 80 and 59
sure,
to get to the wild card number. This is game. Unfortunately for them, in April, every game has become now game 7. That's how I'd be managing them.
Yeah, and I mean, he's one of your better hitters right now. I love the way that he's taking his at-bats. You know, we're 24 games in. I'd say for at least half of them, he's been their best hitter. For the entire 24, he's been certainly somebody who would be considered in the top three. I would run him out there more often than not, especially if the body is responding well.
Apparently, sure. Radar wants to jump in.
Yes, I just saw this tweet from McCutchen that just came down about this very topic. David Todd tweeted yesterday, Kutch deserves all the love he gets, but this Pirate season is basically already over. Kutch has a 92 WRC plus so far this season and is a below average outfielder at this point. It's not like they're sitting Juan Soto when he doesn't play. Play him, don't play him. He shouldn't be a priority if there is another guy that they can give at-bats to and try to develop. Sawinski, Davis, Cook, etc. What they should do right now is trade him to a competitive team if he would be interested, and there are any takers. To which McCutchen quote tweets and says, well, thank God you're not a GM. Didn't know the season only lasted through the month of April. And then he subtweets his own tweet. I'm going to get off this app. It truly is a dark and depressing place with a peace out sign channeling his inner TJ Watt.
Oh, another peace out? We got how many peace out signs? We're still trying
to figure out the Watt grass.
Dan, is the news there that David Todd dropped the WRC Plus or McCutcheon's response?
I guess, you know, let's take them on their own merit. I would completely disagree with the logic and the premise because there's not much of it in the original tweet, frankly. He's actually grading out as a top 10 defensive outfielder, McCutcheon, which is amazing.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North convenience stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Because I don't think he's a particularly great defensive outfielder.
But you would make the argument that that would last through the season. Here's the thing I agree with, is the season is on the precipice. I just told you they need to go 80-59. They've put themselves in a horrible position. And sure, Bob and I have talked about this. Much as I love McCutcheon, at some point, the decision might have to be made. Let's go with young guys. That's valid.
It is until it is.
Yeah.
It's not a tough decision. That's also a backhanded indictment. It's not a conversation. It should be a conversation, but it's not. It's not anywhere near being a conversation.
Which are you talking about?
The whether or not McCutcheon is taking at-bats away and being pushed out of the light. He is right now their second or third best player.
Yes.
So, and that is not necessarily a great thing. I'm not like heralding that as this wonderful, amazing thing. So when people come with, we'll get rid of him or send him off to pasture, he's their number three hitter, for crying out loud. He should be hitting seventh. He should be a complementary piece to this team. He should not be somebody who we are discussing running him out there for 159 games. Why isn't he in the lineup? Why isn't he in the lineup? Well, there should be somebody else to easily take his place. We should be having vigorous debates as to whom McCutcheon is blocking. He's blocking no one.
Therein lies the biggest problem of all.
Yes.
There's nobody down there. And if there was, hopefully they would have elevated that person, but there's no reason to do it. They don't have anyone hitting. The only guy out, and we said this the other day to you, Dan, I'll say it again, Gorski continues to rake down there.
But yeah, where's Gorski?
And I only say that because there's so many guys struggling. Why not get one chance?
Bob, did you ever see the movie The World According to Gorski?
No.
It's wonderful. So Where is he, Dan?
Do we want Gorski for the Pirates or the 32nd Ward team? Because that's where I think his long-term future is.
I don't know, but he was a second-round pick who crushes AAA, who crushed in spring training, and they opened with the Exxon Valdez at first base. Now, he's actually hit a little bit.
Sure.
But why not, even in the interim, just say, what do we have here? They got a bunch of guys hitting 125, so any option is reasonable.
I mean, he's a right-handed bat, so it's a little different, but sure, you could make the argument that those ABs should go to him versus, say, a Sawinski. I don't know if he's a big leaguer. I'd be more interested in seeing Peguero, who I think is up over 850.
We talked about him,
too. Me too.
What happened to him?
What happened to him, Dan?
He's maybe just not that good.
Well, that would give him plenty of company here. Yeah. Maybe he's not that good and still better than half their team.
I thought he was once the guy they were talking about.
He was traded for Starling Marte.
Right. So based on that and based on some of the things you've seen him recently, he's hitting the ball. I just don't understand why he can't get a chance somewhere. That's all I'm looking for. Just because if this team was all hitting, then there's no then he's being blocked, as you said. There's no blocking going on up here.
So, well, I guess Frazier's actually playing a pretty good brand of baseball for me.
He is what he is in my view. I didn't want that signing to begin with, and that's all due respect to Adam Frazier. I felt like that was just $1.5 million just to spend it.
Yeah, they would have to go one less man in the bullpen because right now. You have a four-man bench. You've got Canario as the extra outfielder. Triolo plays everywhere. Davis and Sawinski. So there's just really not a logistical spot. I think if there's an infield need, he's the first guy up. But just the way that everything's configured, you know, he's the 27th man at this point.
Well, riddle me this, Dan. We have Dan Zangrilli in studio here. We're about to go to the big boy, Mark Cabali. We'll let you go with this one. This kid for the Oakland A's just rocketed through their system. Nick Kurtz, fourth pick in the draft last year, played college baseball, goes right through Class A, goes right through Double A, hits .308 in Double A, goes right to Triple A, 1,000 OPS, on pace for 45 homers at Triple A, and suddenly he's making one of the quickest, you know, trips through the system that anybody's ever made there. Why can't the Pirates, in a matter of years and years and years, have one guy who does that, given all their high picks, just one guy who everybody in baseball is talking about, like the hitting version, not quite of Skeens. I know he's generational, but just a star hitter rocket through the system. How has that never happened,
you know,
or at least in a long time?
Of all of the things that we talk about, and there's a laundry list of items to discuss in the pecking order as to why or why not, to me, this is right at the top of the list. I watched him. I was the broadcaster at WVU for 6 years. And I watched Victor Scott fly under the radar, under the nose of the Pirates. I mean, it's not exactly a far drive from PNC Park to Morgantown. The Cardinals pick up Scott, I think, in the fifth, sixth, or seventh round. He was like a between 5 and 10 pick. And he's basically their leadoff hitter and their center fielder. And he's, you know, an absolute menace on the base paths. And it was a great developmental story. And they don't have many of those from an offensive player standpoint. That is the biggest, to me, the biggest item, far more than bobbleheads bricks, sponsor logos, off-season spending. It's about your draft picks, what you do with them, and how, once they are in your system, how quickly, efficiently, and effectively they graduate to the big leagues. Mm. And the issue isn't, you know, what did you sign or what didn't you sign in the offseason? The issue is Sawinski, Davis, Hayes, while he's better, all of those guys, Triolo, that's the core of your foundation. And that is supplemented with spending, free agent signings. You can't, especially as a small market team or any team, build your club through free agency. You need more success stories. When Henry Davis, as a college bat, a polished bat, a mature bat, is taken 1-1, he's got to get to the big leagues, and he's got to help your club.
Yes.
Period. End of sentence. And when that doesn't happen, those are there's plenty of frustration, right, for fans to have. I think it needs to be directed in that area far more than the other areas.
Thank you, Dan. Bob, would you like to thank Dan personally?
Yes, Dan. Keep up the good work on the pre and post. Hopefully we'll have another good game tonight where you can talk about 9 more runs.
What time do you have to stay up till for post games on these West Coast games?
Got off the air 1:30 last night.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Are you able to get to bed after that, Dan, or do you need a snack and some TV?
Yeah, a little.
You can't go to bed. I go home every night. You can't do it. It's just impossible.
Wired.
Bob goes home on Sunday nights when he works late for the showdown and eats, he used to eat potato chips. Now he's trying vegetables, but he can't get to sleep when he gets home.
Oh, yeah. You're so wired. You got that adrenaline going when you're on air.
Right.
And there's a come down period, and you have to gradually take steps. I agree with that.
I always tell people, when you come home at work, let's say you go 8 to 5, 9 to 5, you're not going to go right to bed, are you?
Correct.
No. You got to do something.
Yep. You have to wind down, scroll through some mindless stuff.
Do you sleep in, Dan, then?
No.
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 You have things to do in the morning.
Young children get here early. Yeah, you're getting kicked in the head at, you know, whatever time it is at ungodly hours.
And we had an interesting question earlier, and I will leave you with this one. Mm-hmm. I saw Amy Mock, one of our MVPs here at the Fan before the show, and I had hit my funny bone yesterday.
Yes.
Of course, she's hit hers. Everybody has, right? Oh. That's the question. Is there any human being, let's say 16 years or older, among everybody living on the planet, who has not experienced hitting their funny bone at least once?
I mean, of all the doorways that you walk through over the course of your lifetime, I think it's a mathematical impossibility.
So do I, Bob. Did we get any texting feedback? Is there a person out there, Limits, who has never hit their funny bone?
One person claims that they did not hit their funny bone.
No,
yes,
it's
just
happened.
One.
It happens. They just don't realize it or remember it.
You could bang your getting out of a chair, and then it sends a little shocked on your arm?
Yeah.
I think the highest...
It's universal, bump.
I think the highest funny bone bang per capita comes when carrying something through a doorway.
Yeah.
Or when you prematurely turn.
Yeah.
And then, boom, it's over.
I agree with that, actually. Thank you, Dan.
All right, Dan.
We had a wonderful time.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today.
And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Not sure where Bob went, maybe for seconds on the pizza, but let's get to the big boy, Mark Cabali of the Pat McAfee Show. He's on the Sullivan Super Service fan hotline. Is he on our, there he is. He's on our YouTube channel as well, and you should go there via 937thefan.com. You can watch the show as it happens here. 50-minute mark on the fan coming up here. Brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Route 19 Peters Township. Let's not beat around the bush, big boy.
Joey!
In very succinct terms, who do you think the Steelers will take with the 21st pick, assuming they stay there? And who do you think they should take, assuming the draft falls as most think it will?
You're not going to give me multiple choice here?
No. Who do you think they will take? Who do you think they should take?
I think they should take Derek Harmon. Now, is he available at that point? That's up in the air at the time. I do think they need to, regardless of try to find themselves a defensive lineman within those first 21 picks, depending on who it is, if it's Nolan, if it's Harmon, somebody to that ilk there. If not, if those two are gone, I would then move maybe a little bit past that and really look hard at a running back at 21. That's my top three picks. Running back, Joe.
That was Bob.
Thanks for joining us, Bob.
Mother Nature called. You saw what happened to Shaq O'Neal the other day.
That was great.
And I've had my share of those kinds of things, and you can't ignore Mother Nature. So I wasn't trying to ignore you, Mark, but you say running back maybe?
Potentially. I mean, it would have to fall a certain way. But I think if the defensive lineman would be off the board at that point, I would think that a running back would be in play at that 21st pick. I don't think they're going to be able to move back because I don't think they're going to get enough value to be able to move back. First of all, if you move back from 21, you want to move back within range to get the guy that you truly love. You're not going to move back into the middle of the second round then take a flyer, so to speak, on somebody. You're going to have to absolutely love somebody. What I'm saying is if you move to 21 to 26, you better well be sure that there's five people you would love to have it if you move back five spots. And I just don't think anything more than that would be possible.
So you think they will take Harmon, and who do you think they should take?
I think they should take Harmon if he's there. I mean, he's been mocked in many different places, anywhere from, you know, top 12 to top 20 to all the way down to 30. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I guess depends on what the needs. There are some needs. I mean, Carolina needs a defensive lineman. The Bengals need an offensive defensive lineman, which you got to be a little bit worried about because they're right in front of them. So he might be off the board. But I'm sure that there's two or three other ones that they would be willing to take at that spot too.
So if Nolan, Harmon, and Grant are all on the board, the defensive linemen, the trio, you would take Harmon out of those three?
Yeah, I don't see Grant would be a little bit down on my list because, I mean, he is a big, powerful guy, Jordan Davis-like, but not like Jordan Davis because he's a, you know, he's a little bit different because he's just a freak. I don't want a 20th first overall pick to be a guy that's limited to a nose tackle and may or may be able to play in sub-package football. I want a guy that's going to be, you know, Cam Hayward-like, Stephon Tuitt-like eventually. I don't want a guy that can, you know, potentially play 18 to 20 snaps. So he would be there, but he would probably be my last of the three.
So, Mark, yesterday at that press conference, you heard Mike and Omar talk. You weren't going to get much information. They're not going to show their hand, and I totally understand that. But they did say they play a game, like most teams do, of misdirection, of making you think one thing when they're trying to do the other. How much of this pertains to what they're doing with Shedeur Sanders? Do you think they're legitimately interested, or are they maybe just trying to throw somebody off so that they can create a different scenario for themselves?
Well, Bob, you've been covering this team for a while. You too, Joe. And you have your own show with Mike Tomlin. How much effusive praise does he ever give to an opponent when it comes to a draft guy? Never. He went on and on and on and on.
Which is why I asked then you
why. Why?
Is it true?
He wants you to make you believe that you're going to potentially – hey, maybe if somebody's at 25, 24 or whatever, hey, let's move up to the Steelers and see if we can get ahead of them. Maybe they give them a call or something like that. Then he drops it in. He goes, even the top 30 visits we're not always truthful with. Who in the world are you talking about there, Mike? You have to be talking about Sanders, in my opinion, there as well. Like you said, they give no information whatsoever. And all of a sudden, I thought he was going to tell us what, you know, Shedeur Sanders' favorite color was and what's his favorite type of seafood and salad dressing at a point. So that was a red flag to me. I'm like, what are we doing here? He doesn't say this about anybody. If you would have called him Mr. Sanders, then we would have known he was really meaning something.
Limits, would you like to hop on board here with the big boy?
I would love to hop on board. Hello, big boy. Do you think that there's a chance that the Steelers in the third round might end up taking Tyler Shuck, or do you think that it's something they shouldn't even consider?
Wow. See, first of all, Tyler Shuck might be gone by then, right? That's the case. But if he's there, I think you have to explore it. Yeah, I mean, I don't mind a quarterback in the third round where you're saying if worst case scenario happens, he could be our backup. He could be our Landry Jones. He could be our, you know, for lack of better guys, I mean, Mason Rudolph or guys like that. I'm all for that, and that's what you're going to get when you look at a guy in the third and fourth round. So if he's there, I mean, even potentially a Will Howard. Somebody like that late in day two, early day three, I would be willing to go down that route right there. But I don't want to grab a quarterback at 21 where you're looking at he's being viewed as a – when you're picking a quarterback in the first round in 20, you're thinking he's going to be a slam dunk. And I just don't think anybody – that's going to be around at 21 is going to be a slam dunk for them, but you don't need that in the third. They need to add to people. I still think Aaron Rodgers comes. So, I mean, take that for what it's worth.
Well, let me ask you what I asked these fine gentlemen earlier. If I told you you had to take a quarterback at 21 and your choices were Milroe, Sanders, or Dart, who would you take?
Ooh, Milroe, Sanders, or Dart? Probably Dart.
That makes 4 for 4 then. We're all of that.
Yeah, I mean, Milroe's a guy that I don't know. He seems like a guy that just keeps moving up on the draft board for reasons why nobody seems to know. He doesn't have that intangibles, I don't think so, where he's a sure bet. I mean, Sanders, if he was a sure bet, Joe, Bob, Austin, the Browns and the Giants would not be trying to get rid of 2 and 3, right? you would be like, we need quarterbacks. Shador's there. He's a can't-miss prospect. We're taking him. No, they're like, hey, let's try to get out of this position. So I think a lot of people might see Shador that way. But you only need one guy and one team. And there will be a team that grabs him. I just don't think it will be the Steelers.
All right, let's talk about something that's been brewing down in Dallas. And I have no idea what to say. Maybe Jerry Jones is doing this as well, playing little games. But he said that he's working on two significant trades that are designed to bring in a number two receiver. So given where George Pickens is right now, 1 year left on a contract, just witnessed $150 million going to the guy who is the number one guy here, do you think that includes the Steelers? And if so, what would be the compensation for George Pickens?
I see. I wouldn't take anything less than maybe a second and a – I'd take multiple picks. If you're coming out here and saying, we want a number two, we're looking for this. First, number two is the first thing out of my mouth. Okay, we're getting a number two, plus we're getting a four or five. They got to come and knock the Steelers' socks off for them to even consider this. Even then, they might not even consider it. It's going to have to be a great offer for them to be able to make this move, because they feel that they have finally a good wide receiver crew that they can – move forward here at least this year and give him a chance to win. And the worst case scenario is, you know, you get a third round pick next year for it. If George leaves, you can franchise him next year. So you're going to have to make it worth the Steelers' while and some. Saying that, I just don't see it happening. But if it's Jerry Jones and the being how much of a wild card he is, man, who knows what's going through his mind? Maybe he's willing to give you way, way too much.
Well, and you're like, man, he got a second round pick for Chase Claypool, right? Omar Khan. Yeah. So who knows? Maybe he waits it out and something happens that, you know, I guess I'm asking that, Mark, with the thought that I don't think his future is determined right now. I don't think, you know, you can say right now he's on the team and I know they talk glowingly about him, but that can change very easily depending on what people call you on either draft day or before draft day, right?
I mean, you could probably say that about a lot of people. I mean, do the Steelers want to trade Minka Fitzpatrick? No. But if somebody says, hey, we're going to give you X, Y, and Z, you're like, oh, man, maybe I should do this, you know? It all depends on what the offer would be coming back there. But I don't think they want to trade him. I don't think George, anything that I've heard, wants to be traded right now. So, like I said, unless some
wait a second here. Wait a second here, big boy.
Dallas.
Everything you know about George Pickens right now, you think things will go smoothly through training camp in the season? Well, nothing's happening now. Of course he's not piping up now. Nothing's happening.
No, he could. He could. He could just say, knock on Tomlin's door and say, hey, I'm out. You got DK, you go live with him. I'm going somewhere
else. Or just quit on routes like he's done in the past or get upset on it. No. Acting out in
then
any
you
form.
Address it then.
Then you well, address, then it might be too late. I would address it in anticipation that this guy's going to be a problem because they told him essentially this offseason, you are not our guy and you might not even have a future here. Here's all your money going to DK Metcalf.
Yes, but he also knows he's smart enough to know, hey, T. Higgins shut his mouth for a year and he got paid $30 million. Why can't I do the same thing here right now?
Yeah, I brought that example up before.
You sure about that? He looks at that and says, I'll do the same thing?
Absolutely, I'm not sure about that. But he better look at Deontay Johnson right now and say, you know what? I asked for a trade and wanted out of here, and they sent me to Carolina. They sent me to the purgatory. How did that help my pocketbook?
Well, we'll know there's problems when he starts.
So in that.
When he starts running backwards during games, Bob, we'll know there's problems. You're up.
You always got the trade deadline. If something doesn't work well in training camp, there's always that option to be able to move him if you feel that. That's
look at this big boy.
Wait a minute, Joe. May I gauge the boy in a?
Please.
Game Ooh. Of free association.
Ooh. Wow. How about this? Whoa. This is like when Ron came in and did everything but football with Al.
It's not actually free association. I want to give you guys names.
Please.
And an over and
yes.
under that I just checked on one of the sports books I look at. And I'm just curious what you would think on these positions. I'm going to give you the name of the player and the draft position. You tell me over or under, okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right, here's the first one.
You go first,
Ashton
big boy.
Genty. Over and under draft position 6. Will he go over or under that?
Is that where he's supposed to go? To the Vegas?
It opened up at 9. It's now 6.
Can I say push?
You sound sure. like me now.
Yeah, if you think he's going to go sixth. Who's drafting sixth, Bob? I think he's going to go to Jacksonville right at number. Are they sixth?
The Raiders are six.
Where's Jacksonville?
Five.
Over. He's going fifth.
I'm pushing as well, Bob. I think he's going to go sixth to the Raiders.
Next.
Okay, Jackson Dart. Draft position, 24.5.
Funny you should mention him.
He opened up at 19.
It's funny you should mention him, Bob. Chase Daniel, former NFL quarterback. Jackson Dart's film versus Georgia, the kind of game scouts circle. Played through pressure, made clutch throws, never blinked, and played hurt. He's a first-round QB for sure. I don't think he makes it past number 20, says Chase Daniel. I think he does. What number did you give
23
us?
And a half.
No. I'm under. Holding out hope the Steelers take him at 21.
So it'll be under. What about
who the heck's at 20?
I don't know. I don't know.
Well, the reason he would say 20 is because someone who likes Dart would jump in front of the Steelers, yeah. fearful of them picking.
I'm not going to look into all the minutia here. I'm just saying that where he ends up originally was, what did I say, 19. He was originally. Now he's down to 23.5. Do you think he'll be selected before that, under that, or over that?
I say under. It's a quarterback. People get nervous and take quarterbacks, so under.
Bob, we have to go.
Under.
I have one more. I have about 10 more, but since you occupied all the time and you're going to blame me for this.
How am I getting blamed? You were late for the segment, Bob.
Mother Nature.
Because you had to pee like a runaway Billy goat.
No, it wasn't pee. Paid attention to the clock. Shitter Sanders.
Wasn't pee.
It wasn't pee.
Oh, jeez. What was it then, Bob?
I mean, if it was pee,
I'll tell you what it was. It was a bigger blowout than Patriots 55, Steelers 24. You remember that one, big boy?
Oh, yeah. Dick LeBeau lost it, remember?
Yeah.
Shadur Sanders, draft position, over and under 9.
Lower. Like, you're gonna back, further down the draft.
So you're going to go over.
Yeah.
Over.
It's very confusing, actually, Bob, the way you've termed it.
I'm sorry about my Game of Free Associations going off the rails. I'll now leave the studio, and you guys can finish up today's show. Thank you very much for your participation.
More blowouts than Super Bowl 40.
That wasn't a blowout. That was a close game. Thank you, big boy.
All right, fellas. We'll see you.
Bob, would you like to continue? Bob left. I looked up, and I said, Bob, you want to continue that game in the next hour, which we're already in? And Bob's gone.
Which we will do. Bob legitimately walked right out of the studio.